devil's advocates. The fix for political junkies everywhere.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. I'm on the road live in La Crosse, Wisconsin. That's my final alma mater. Dominic, you were my roommate. I think we both graduated eventually. Some, me, took longer than most. But you know, the good part is...
I got time out for good behavior, man.
I enjoyed every minute of it, man.
For sure. You're welcome.
College exceeded all my expectations. Everything I thought it could be and should
and
be...
more.
It was better than that. It's all been downhill since there, you know. Accepting the wife and the family and the kids and stuff, but, you know.
Of course.
They're the good stuff. They're the real good stuff.
Thank you for the qualification. Saying. Folks, 844-967-2789. We got some callers. Let's get to them. What your reaction to the Department of Justice officials testifying today at the J6 hearing. I thought it was phenomenal and extremely scary. Joe from Madison, what did you think?
Well, I think how strong and important those hearings are kind of reflected in the phone call you had in the last half hour with, I believe his name is Nick, describing really his great sorrow of being a Republican and feeling, I believe his words were, I don't belong. I feel like I don't belong. And that his relatives describe him as a rhino now, that you're not true blue, and to the Republican Party. It takes a lot. It takes a lot to say, it really does, and to say it publicly, that he kind of feels like a man without a party right now, and that something that had been part of his identity and that he cared about very much has been so tainted and stained by this awful Trump and what he's brought to the place, and that he has, we are coming to understand through these hearings just how deep the rot was, how terrible it was, and when Nick says, I took an oath to this country and how important that is to his self-identity. And it is so clear that for Trump, it was just one more game, one more ruse, one more way to make money, one more way to enrich himself and to not be thinking about the people of this country, people like Nick. And so I wanted to thank Nick for saying publicly what he did. It's hard to do. It's hard to do. And I applaud him for it. So that's what I have to say.
Joe, thank you for that. I want to ask you a question, though, about that rot. You know, I find it difficult to believe that any person, be it, you know, in this case, Donald Trump, could come into an organization and fundamentally change it to the degree that he seemingly did. My thought is that, you know, that rot's always been there. You know what I'm saying? And that a guy like Donald Trump just brought it to the surface. And there were so many, there still are so many within that party willing to acquiesce, to facilitate the bringing all that stuff to the surface and discounting the family values party, right? And discounting the fiscal conservatism party and all the things that they used to claim that they were for that Donald Trump is most certainly not, yet they all lined up behind him one by one. I don't know if it's a continuation of the rot or just how weak those individuals in that party actually were to whatever core beliefs they claim they held, Joe, but what's your take?
You know, it gets into that territory. You think, what is being held over their heads to make them behave in this way? Did they take money that they shouldn't have? Is this who they really are? Because the behavior was certainly antithetical to the American electoral process and to what we're supposed to all be about. And the most precious thing we have, which is our democracy, and flawed though it may be, it's a very, very precious thing. I don't know, Dom, and it does make me wonder who got to them and said what, you know, and I know that makes me sound like political thriller land, but man, how could you not see? How could you not see what this guy was about? He was about himself, and that's it. So great show, and I really, really appreciate your taking on this discussion. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Joe.
Here's my impression, Joe. It was a populist message, and it was stolen, but in the rise of Donald Trump, in the rise of 2016, it was the message that economically this country is leaving you behind and your options have been limited. Now, Bernie Sanders would say, we're the 99%. Let's all rise up together. Let's all kumbaya and join a union and activate. And Donald Trump did something different. Donald Trump, the only way for him to expand the base of the Republican Party, or at least to his perception, was to activate the white nationalist and the low propensity voter. And we've talked about that here in the state of Wisconsin. Those rural voters felt abandoned by the Republican, the Democratic Party. The Dems didn't have anything to offer them. They didn't like the elitist Dems. And the populist Dems, the Bernie Sanders sort of populist that talked about the economic message and put it on the kitchen table, well, they played great. I mean, Bernie Sanders won this state by double digits, but that was only the primary. We're only one state. And ultimately, it was Hillary Clinton, and she was not a populist. And it was the false populist, the false prophet, because he was willing to take up the populist message. It's rigged. It's screwed. And we're going to, only I can fix it. Right?
It was. You're never going to see another manufacturing company leave this country if I'm president. I'm bringing all the jobs back. Yes, that's a great point, Curtis.
If I'm home worried about my job, that's exactly what I want to hear.
Right.
If I'm that guitar playing Craig out there on the road, well, he literally lost a kid to opioids, had his friend die, or his son die, pardon me, if I remember Craig's history properly.
Yes, that was his advocation.
And Trump, on a rope line, told him, brought him backstage, yeah, we're going to do something about the drug problem. We're gonna solve this problem so families like yours don't have to suffer. And he told us, you know, that personal contact from Trump, that assurance, that false promise is what convinced him. I mean, the guy went on to worship Trump. He played guitar. He lost his house because he's out on the road, not working, not making any money. He's just out there playing guitar and trying to convince people Trump's the greatest ever. But Trump expanded the base. And what are Republicans afraid of? Those, you know, Mitt Romney sort of Republicans, the Paul Ryan sort of Republicans. They're afraid of their own base. Because those low propensity voters, those white nationalists that he ginned up, they're scary people, man. And he has given them permission to act that way. So I am super encouraged to hear a guy like Nick say, I renounce that party, because that cannot possibly be a reflection of a good Christian, reasonable human being. I know you don't like the Christianity, Dom.
But
if that's how you live your life, there's no way that you should continue to follow the false prophet.
It's not just white nationalism, Crudy. It's white Christian nationalism.
Sure.
I don't think you can say any of those three words without including any one of those three words without including the other two. That is their basis. That's where it comes from.
But I hate to hear the word Christian nationalism, because it implies somehow Jesus Christ, and I do believe that Jesus Christ would condone this. And any person that would live a Christ-like life would never condone Donald Trump.
Well, that's up for you Christians to figure out. I'm going to call them like I see them. They claim themselves that they're Christians, Crudy. I'm not calling them Christians. They're calling themselves Christians. And maybe they won't call themselves
Christians.
Yes, white nationalist Christians. That's who Donald Trump validated and who brought out. And those are the people that attacked the Capitol. So, I mean, we saw Jesus flags at the insurrection, man. I mean, listen.
They like an Old Testament,
I didn't see Hindu flags. I didn't see Islam flags. I didn't see any other religious.
Assalamu alaikum, my brother.
I did not see any other religious flags, but I saw Christian flags at the insurrection, at the coup. So, I mean, I hear what you're saying, and definitely Trump hijacked that populist, that angst, no doubt about it. He did a hell of a job doing it, too. But the people that bought into it were white Christian nationalists.
Okay, fair enough. But there are also a lot of Klan or they will not replace us. Donald Trump has given permission for the Klan-like people. Perhaps he's given them some sort of sanitized cover. But that is an engaging movement. That racist movement has always engaged America. I mean, think of the KKK marching and filling up Madison Square Gardens in the 1920s or 30s. I forget when it was.
Oh, the Nazis
Coughlin
did.
Days. Sure. I'm telling you, there's always been that racist undertone amongst us. And they got very fired up when Barack Obama became the president of the United States. And Donald Trump said, first, he's not legitimate, right? Trump questioned his birth certificate. He's not a legitimate president. I got people out in Hawaii. They're investigating it. And they'll bring back the proof. You remember, that's how Donald Trump, at least politically, pushed himself into prominence. And he's ginning up the racism now, because that's all that's left. He's calling upon the most violent elements, and that's all that's going to be left, man, because the tax-cutting, swear an oath to the Constitution, join the army kind of good, sensible Republicans, they're going to do what Nick did, and they're going to walk away. And all that's going to be left are those that either want to play war or those that are willing to die for this white nationalist Christian movement. And that's what I'm afraid we're going to devolve into if we can't find someone to give hope, a populist message that resonates with a big chunk of the country. It's not technocratic Dems that are going to appeal to the working class people in the 3rd CD in La Crosse, Wisconsin. Man, these are working stiffs out here. And Donald Trump, he appeals to many of them. But those watching the J6, I hope they have a new opinion.
844-967-2789. I would just suggest that if you're looking for others to provide you with happiness, you know, you got to look at yourself and internally first. I mean, no one's going to provide that for you. Every individual in this country has got to figure out what their hope and what their happiness, where their place is. Certainly, you know, politics plays a place in policy and in so forth. But, you know, they're an inspirational being, if that's the hope and change of Barack Obama became what? Coup and insurrection of Donald Trump. Let's get some callers in here. Mark from the SAC, you are up. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Mark.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Yeah, and I agree with Dom to a large extent here. The crystal fascist.
Oh, man, but go ahead.
but it is true that I've read this book on the Confederacy where they wrapped, you know, Christianity into, you know, the turning people into property. How is it divinely inspired that these people are supposed to be property now and forever because, oh, hell, they're the children, the descendants of Ham, you know, who disgraced Noah. Well, BS.
I mean, don't talk to me about the finer points of fiction, Mark. That's why I just discount all that all the time. But they do. They believe that stuff, Mark.
And that's the part of the problem is they miss the message of, if you believe in that, the message that Jesus supposedly delivered, you're supposed to give of yourself to your fellow man, not in terms of gaining profits for yourself, but how you care for your fellow man, no matter how, you know, that supposedly insignificant you think that fellow man is, whether it be a prisoner in prison or, you know, the poor homeless person you see on the street. You're supposed to give of yourself for those people, and a society should give of itself for those people. And, you know, I'm not really overly surprised with a lot of the stuff I'm hearing. It's filling in a lot of the details, but I'm not surprised. I was not, like I said before, I'm not surprised that Ron Johnson was in ass deep in this. And Johnson's problem is he told some lies, and now he keeps on telling lies because if you just tell the truth from the beginning, you don't ever have to remember which lie you are trying to spin out of.
Right. Mark, that's why I don't lie, man. I could never keep it all straight. Thanks for the call, man.
Amen, brother Mark. Here's my suggestion to Rojo. Just come clean, Rojo. Confess your sins. And do a penance. You know, in this case, it might be in Club Fed. But come do your penance.
And give Dominic a tithe. Give the devil's advocates a tithe. That'll totally free you. I promise. On your deathbed, you shall receive total consciousness.
Gunga Galunga, Senator. Come back with us. More devil's advocates. You can be a part of this big show. 844-967-2789. Dom in the Shaw. Crudy in God's country in La Crosse. Evan in the world headquarters in Madison, screening the calls. And it's almost time to go to a bar. So, you know, last segment, call. I've been feeling the rhythm.